I want to preach tonight on the last words for the last days. Last words for the last days. I believe that we are living in the last days. I believe that the coming of the Lord is very soon, and I am looking for His appearing, and that according to the Scripture is who He's coming for. Amen. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse number 3, Peter said this, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And of this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come." Everybody say, "The day of the Lord will come." The day of the Lord will come. I don't care who says it won't. God said it will. And I'm going to stand on the Lord's side and believe that the day of the Lord will come. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Last words for the last days. The Apostle Peter is at the end of his journey, and he writes this last epistle to the church. The church has entered into a time of great testing and great persecution. Christians are suffering for their belief. Some of them are having to lay down their very lives. Some of them are watching their loved ones imprisoned and killed for the sake of the gospel. It's a hard and difficult time for the church, but the church is thriving. Amen. The church has been existent now for quite a number of years. And like all things, as we, you know, when you get a little older, you got to pray that you don't get colder. Now that's not saying anything derogatory, amen, about folks that's been around a while. You know, when something's new, it's easy to get excited about it. You know what I'm talking about? When something's new, it's easy to get all excited about it. But whenever it's been going on for a while, and you've been up some hills and down some hills, and it becomes daily, and yet if you're not careful, it becomes mundane. It's a lot harder to hold on to some things when time passes on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody's been married a while, you know what I'm talking about. Shake your head like this right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know the old excitement's gone. The honeymoon's over, honey. Amen. Ain't no more secrets. Everything's open and revealed. Amen. Praise God. Bless his heart. He snores. Loud. Amen. And it ain't easy putting up with some things. Praise the Lord, because revelation, but you know what? You stick with it because you made a commitment, and you've fallen into a deeper level of love and commitment than you ever knew before. You don't have to just sit around and talk a whole lot because you already know what one another's thinking. Or think you do. Heard about an old couple sitting on the porch, and sweet little old lady says to her husband, she says, "I appreciate you, Paul." And Paul says, "I hate you too." Well, he didn't hear that quite right. Amen. But there's something about the passage of time and being able to hold on to some things. Amen. It's harder to finish a race than it is to start the race. And it's easier to hold on for a short time than it is to hang on for a long time. But there's a great reward for those that hang in there. Like Brother Neil was saying, he said, "I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. And I'm not giving out." Amen. You see, I got to have that attitude. That's the attitude for the long run. Amen. We used to sing an old song, "I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price. Whatever others do, I'll take the way where the Lord's despised few. I started out for Jesus, and I'm going through." You got to have that kind of a determination down in your soul that nothing is going to stop you or turn you around or aside. Amen. And so Peter is writing to a church that has been through some things, and he reminds them of some things. I like what he said. Let's look at this chapter for a few moments. He said, "Beloved," isn't that a great way to address a congregation? Amen. He loved those people like I love you. He said, "Beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance." Everybody say, "Pure minds." You know, you don't think like other people think. Amen. You don't think like other people think. You have a pure mind, and thank God for a pure mind. The Bible said to the pure, all things are pure. When you have a pure mind, you're not always living in the gutter. And everything doesn't make you giggle like a silly child. Amen. Because you've reached the maturity. You realize that words really do mean something. Amen. We live in a world that has corrupted our language to the point that common and good words have come to mean vile and impure things. Amen. What a travesty. What a travesty. Amen. But nonetheless, it's the world that we live in. But he said, "I'm writing to some people that have a pure mind. Some people that can communicate on a higher level." Amen. Some people that know how to talk without just resorting to profanity to try to get their point across, but they actually have arrived at a place that they can communicate thought with words. And so he said, "I'm writing to a people with a pure mind." And he said, "I want you to remember some things. It's good to you and I to have a good memory." Two things you need to make it to heaven. One is you need a good memory. Amen. You need to remember the good times. You need to remember the good things. You need to remember who you are. Amen. And that hell's not in charge of you. Amen. But your Father, your Heavenly Father, is in charge of you. And He has designed good things for you. That's what you want to remember. And the second thing you need is a good forgetter. Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling that is in Jesus Christ." You got to let go of some stuff. Brother Grissom, you don't know how it was in the past. I don't need to know. But what you need to do is cut it off and let it go. It's doing nothing but holding you back and holding you down. Amen. It was hard. I know it was hard. I'm sorry that it was hard. But let it go. on you today, trying to live life and dragging the chain of the past behind you and all the garbage that's behind you. Just let go of it. It can't do anything but slow you down. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know how to keep a wound from healing? Keep picking at it. Yeah? Amen. You just keep on scratching it. Keep paying attention to it. Keep coddling it. Amen. And I promise you, you'll get some infection. You just keep on doing that. That's what a lot of people do with the past. They won't let go of it. It taints every day of their life. And they can't go forward because of their past. You need a good forgetter. God has a good forgetter. The Bible said that He cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and God forgets about some things. He said, I don't want to remember those things anymore, so I'm just going to forget them. Amen. That's what you need to do, is just forget them. Oh, but what if they don't even ask for forgiveness? So what? Do yourself a favor. Forgive them anyway. For your own sake. For your own benefit. For your own good. Just go ahead and forgive and forget and press on. Amen. So He said, I want you to remember some things. That you be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets. Now, holy prophets in contrast to false prophets. In Bible times, even in the early church, there were false prophets as well as holy prophets. In 2013, there are false prophets as well as holy prophets. We have to be careful who we listen to. Amen. I'm going to tell you today, one way to know is that this is the holy prophets. Amen. And what they said, some of it has already come to pass, and some of it is yet to come to pass, but you can believe it. Amen. And so there are holy prophets. And He said, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And so Paul, or Peter, standing here on the authority that he had heard from the Lord. Amen. And when you hear from God, you'll know you've heard from God. And now, then he points this out, verse 3. He said, knowing this first. Somebody said, I want to know this. That there shall come. Notice that. Shall come. No doubt. Shall come in the last days. Scoffers, mockers, people that scoff at you and make fun of you and belittle you for what you believe. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to grow a backbone in these last days. If you just want to be part of the in crowd and be popular, you're going to have to grow yourself a backbone in these last days. Because there's going to be a lot of scoffers, and there's going to be a lot of mockers, and your faith and your beliefs are going to be put to the test. And God is going to find out, and you're going to find out, and the world's going to find out what you really believe. And we're seeing that already. We're seeing that now. Amen. It's on every side. I have never seen a day when these lines are being more clearly drawn than they are right now. Praise the Lord. When people are more bold in speaking out against the Lord than ever before. People are more bold in attacking Jesus Christ and His church than ever before. I'm not whining tonight. Amen. Brother Neil, bring it on. Amen. It must be. It's got to come to pass. The Apostle Peter was writing to such a church. A church was under that kind of attack and that kind of persecution. And he was writing to them some things that you and I need to hear tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you what makes the difference. Grace. God's grace is God's divine enablement to help you through anything that you come across or come against. God's grace kept the three Hebrew sons in the fire. Amen. The fire could not burn them. All it could do was burn the bonds off of their hands. It couldn't even burn their garments. Amen. They come out without so much as the stench of smoke on their clothes because grace was there to keep them. I realize that in these last days, we're going to face some things that in modern church has not faced, at least in the United States of America. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. His grace is sufficient for you. Amen. I don't know if I can go through that. No, you can't, but grace can. And grace will enable you, and you can. Amen. There's going to be scoffers in the last days looking, walking after their own lusts. And I'm telling you, people deny themselves nothing today. The state of dress and undress that you see in the grocery store is amazing. You wonder what happened. Amazing. And here's what they're saying. They are saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You see the question here? Amen. I'm promising you, you're going to hear a lot of questions in these last days. People are going to do everything they can to make you question your faith and your God. They're going to do everything they can to destroy your faith in God. Amen. They're going to bring up every kind of argument they can. But you be like that little boy that was flying the kite. It was a cloudy day, and that kite had climbed so high that you couldn't see it. It was obscure and hidden somewhere up in the clouds. But he was hanging there. He's had that string in his hand. A man comes by and said, what you doing? He said, I'm flying a kite. The guy said, I don't see any kite. I don't believe there's such a thing as a kite up there. He said, well, I can feel it tugging at the other end. Hallelujah. Let me tell you how to maintain your faith. You got to know in the cloudy day that God's still a tugging at the other end. And what nobody else can feel, you can still feel the power of the presence of God. Oh, I know He's there because I can feel it tugging on the other end. You may not have a connection, but I've got a connection. Amen. It's more than faith. It's more than faith. An agnostic guy walked by a little old lady's house. Tough times. She was praying for some groceries. Nothing in the house to eat. He heard the prayer. He said, I'm going to play a trick on her. He went down and bought some groceries and brought them and set them on the porch. She came out and saw the bag, got all excited, and began to praise the Lord for the groceries that He had supplied. And he come out with a smirk on his face and said, see there, you old crazy woman. God didn't supply those groceries. I did. And she said, well, praise the Lord. He used an agnostic to supply them. Amen. Praise, faith makes a difference in your life. You can see God in all things. But we're living in such a time, folks. Peter said they're going to ask you questions. And they're going to do everything they can to shake your faith. Verse 5, for they are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, everybody say by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth stood out of the water and in the water. What does that mean? That means there was water on the earth, and there was water above the earth. Now, this is theory. I believe that. I believe, according to my understanding, the Bible said there was a firmament above. That is, there was something solid up there. I believe it was a body of water. I believe that before the flood, there was a membrane of water that covered the earth. And it was like a greenhouse on the earth, because that prism of water would spread the sun's rays all around the globe, and it was everywhere, was the constant temperature. And it was like a huge greenhouse. Amen. People say, what happened to the dinosaurs? I'm getting ready to tell you. They were there. Amen. One day they were munching grass. Amen. And all of a sudden, it all came to an end. God said that His grace would tarry with man 120 years. And after that, there would come a judgment. And there did. We call it the flood. And at that time, I believe that membrane of water was pierced, and the waters came down in a great rush upon the earth. Amen. And there was a T-Rex and all the other dinosaurs munching, and we come up with new ones every day, don't we? Some of them are purple. Sing about how much they love you. Sinclair's got a green one. They change the names constantly. And I don't know what all of them are called, but I do know this, they lived. Because we got enough bones around to prove that they lived. So I believe that they lived. And it's no problem for me to believe that. I don't believe they lived billions and millions of years ago. I believe they were created along with everything else about 6,000 years ago. Amen. And the waters came down. The Bible said it did. Upon the earth, and the waters covered all the way up to the mountaintops. And God preserved a man and his family by the name of Noah that got into the great boat, the ark that he prepared. And that boat rose above the flood. And God kept them safely, and a beginning, a seed to start over. Amen. I heard a guy, one time there was a man that was a creationist that was talking to an evolutionist, and the evolutionist said, are you telling me that all of the different species of dogs on the earth came from just two dogs? He said, yeah, that's what I'm telling you, and you're trying to tell me that they all came from a rock. Which one's easier to believe? Amen. I'm going to follow the book here on this one. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe that Noah was in the ark. I believe that there was two of ever clean animal and seven of ever unclean animal in that ark with him. I believe that he rose above the flood, and when the waters dissipated, he came out of that ark, and the animals came out with him, and God started over with a new creation. And God replenished the earth. I believe that. Amen. You don't have to believe that. That's up to you. But I believe that because that's what the Bible says. And I am a Bible believer. Praise the Lord. It's my choice. It's my decision. It's what I stand by. It's what I live. And it's what I believe. And so Peter reminds them, they're saying that everything's continued from day one like it is now. He's reminding them, oh, no, there was a flood. There was a time when God pronounced a judgment and sent it. There was a time when God said, things are not going to continue as they are. I'm going to shake it up a bit. And He did. He reminds them of that, and we need to remind people of that. They'll say, oh, that's just an old fable. That's just an old story. Well, you can believe that if you want to. Amen. But for me and for my house, we're going to believe that there was a flood and a man called Noah. Amen. But you know that in most ancient cultures all around the world, that there is a story about a flood and a man in a boat. People that have never read a Bible or seen a Bible, but somewhere in their history, coming down from thousands of years, is a story about a great flood and a man in a boat. Amen. Because God destroyed the earth as it was in that day. Amen. But saved the righteous man Noah and brought a judgment on the earth. And he said, and so Peter reminds us that happened then. And listen to what he says next. He said, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word that sent the flood are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He said it's not going to be the flood again. It's going to be fire the next time. Did you know that about 10 miles below your feet in the core of the earth, the temperature's about 12,400 degrees Fahrenheit? Toasty. Real toasty. Amen. That's what's under us tonight. That's just a few miles below us, under our feet. And did you know that the heavens are filled with gases and they're flammable? You ever see somebody with oxygen and they got this big sign up that says, no smoking. Flammable. Amen. They want you, hey, don't you get fire around this. It could ignite. It could blow up. And yet we breathe those gases every day. And we can't live without them. But God somehow has mixed all of that together in such a way that it does not explode or ignite. But one of these days, the God of glory that made it with His own word is going to change the mixture just enough that the heavens and the earth are going to pass away in a fervent heat. Amen. And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth that He's going to create. And this present world and this present heaven is going to pass away. That's what the Scripture says. Amen. Now, if I didn't believe in God, I wouldn't want to believe that either. If I didn't believe in God, I would not want to believe that either. I would not want to believe that there's a judgment. I would not want to believe that there's a heaven or a hell. If I didn't believe in God, I would want to believe that this is all there is. If I didn't believe in God. But I do believe in God. And I do believe that there's a heaven. And I do believe that there's a hell. And I do believe that there's a judgment for the righteous and for the unrighteous. Amen. Anybody else believe that here tonight? Praise the Lord. I do believe that those things are very real. Amen. And so, verse 11, he asks an interesting question. Verse 11 and 12, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? If there is a heaven, if there is a hell, if there is a judgment, if we believe that, he said, what kind of people should we be? How should we be living our lives with heaven and hell in view? Amen. And then he says, in all holy conversation. What does that mean, holy conversation? The word conversation means way of life. The word holy means set apart. So he's saying we need to be living a life that we have been set apart. Set apart unto God. Set apart unto His righteousness. Set apart unto His goodness. Set apart unto His will and into His way and in obedience to His commandments. That's the life that we ought to be living in all godliness. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said looking for. Anybody looking for the coming of the Lord? And this next part's interesting. He said, and hastening unto. Not only do we believe it, but we welcome it. We're running toward it. Hallelujah. Paul got to the place where he was praying, even so, come Lord Jesus. You get enough after a while. You can also pray that prayer. Amen. Come Lord Jesus. We not only believe it, we're looking for it. Running toward it. Believing that it's going to happen at any time. Amen. He said, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, wouldn't that be a great place where everything's right? There ain't no more lying, and there's not any more liars. There's not any thieves. Amen. You know what I look forward to when I go to heaven? No more keys. When I was a kid, I remember the first time I got a key to something. I was so excited. Man, I got a key. Now I got a key to get in everything. And some things I can't get into because I don't have a key. Amen. We got stuff around here I don't know where the key to is. And sometimes I get in there and I need to get in and I can't get in. And it's all frustrating. But I'm going to a place where I'm not going to need any keys. Hallelujah. You're not going to be any thieves. You're not going to have to worry about any of that over there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Your children are going to be able to play where they want to play. You don't have to worry about somebody carrying them off and doing bad things. Amen. There's not going to be any idolaters over there, any adulterers over there. Everything's going to be safe. Everything's going to be pure. Everything's going to be righteous. Who wouldn't want to live in a world like that? I said, who wouldn't want to live in a world like that? Praise the Lord. That's the kind of place I'm looking for. Amen. I've been told that things are getting better here, but I've been around 61 years and I haven't seen it. Amen. Near as I can tell, it's not. And when I compare my childhood to my daughter's childhood and to these children's childhood, there's a lot of difference. When I compare the world as it is today, as the world was then, I see a lot of difference. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Praise the Lord. Anybody feel like it's safer today than it was then? Amen. I surely don't. Praise the Lord. And I'm not just being somebody that's getting senile and looking back with looking back and forgetting how things really were. I know it wasn't as good then. Hey, I like air conditioning. I didn't have air conditioning then. I like it. Amen. I like antique cars, but I like new ones better. Have you driven one of those old cars recently? They were nice back then, but they ain't so good now. Hey, man, you can tell a lot of difference. They don't ride as good. Somebody said they don't make them like they used to. Thank God. I remember we used to overhaul them about 60,000 miles. That was about as good as you were going to get out of a vehicle. Amen. My car and my pickup both got nearly three times that many miles right now. We're still trucking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did they make them better than it did then? Some things are better. I'm not living in the past and trying to tell you those were glory days, but I'm just simply saying that morally, we were better off then. Morally, we were better off then. Amen. And so I'm looking for a better time. I'm looking for a world wherein is righteousness, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, listen to this, be diligent. If I say be diligent, that means that you got to stay after. Diligent is day in and day out. You just stick with it. You just stick with it. You just keep doing what you know that you need to be doing. That's being diligent. You're not giving up. You're not giving out. Amen. And you're not giving in, but you're diligent. Praise the Lord. That you may be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now there's a goal to reach for. I can't say that I'm blameless. I'm not blameless. But I know that the Lord, after I repent, can see me as blameless. I don't see myself that way, and people won't see me that way, but after I've repented, God can see me that way, and does. And the count that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. What is long-suffering of our Lord? That means, again, you got to just stay with it. You know you're in the right place. How many believe you're in the right place tonight? Anybody believe you're in the right way? Amen. You just stick with this. Praise the Lord. I told them that some folks today over in Canton that you know, we have a unique point of view here. We're not just preaching to people about something that we don't know about. You see, I've been on that side. I know what it's like out there. I was there. I lived there. I could go back if I wanted to. But I've been on this side now for more than 40 years because I like it so much better over here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know what it's like on that side. Not only have I been there, but I deal with it every day. And I look at it every day. And I know what this side offers. And I like it here. Amen. So I'm not preaching to people just to tell them, look at me, how much better I am. That's not the point. The point is I have found peace and joy on this side. And it's been better for me on this side. Oh, we would be so remiss not to try to tell people about it. If you've had found the cure for cancer and you didn't share that, can you imagine what kind of person you would be? If you could obliterate the suffering and the death that it causes and brings, and you didn't do anything about it and you didn't tell anybody, that would be a horrible thing. Even the world would say that was a horrible thing. But I'm telling you tonight, you and I have found the cure for something more deadly than cancer. Amen. Nobody survives sin. Sin kills everybody. Yes, it does. Amen. But we found the cure for it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I found something that'll pull the stinger out of sin and will rob victory from the grave. Amen. Brother Grissom, Christians died too. Oh, but in that great getting up morning, fare you well, fare you well. In that great getting up morning, fare you well, fare you well. Amen. That's not death. The Bible said that's sleeping. Hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong with sleeping. Except in church. And on the job. And in the classroom. Thank God for summer. Amen. Young people get all caught up. Amen. Because school's coming again by and by. Amen. So he said that we're looking for some things. We got to go through some suffering. Amen. But we know something better's waiting. He warns us against some things. And that is that those that are unlearned and unstable risk the Scriptures, their own destruction. That's why it's important that you and I know the Word of the Lord for ourselves. I've said this before, but truth has a ring to it. If you have the Spirit of truth, it will bear witness to truth. And when you hear truth, the Spirit of truth will recognize truth. So it doesn't matter who say it. If I say it or somebody else says it and it doesn't bear witness to the Spirit of truth, then you need to check it out. Amen. You don't need to take that at face value. You need to check it out and see if that's really the truth or not. Amen. The Bible said that some people, that they actually twist or wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. Some people make the Bible say what it doesn't say. Have you ever had anybody do that to you? Say you said something you didn't say? Did that make you angry? Huh? You think maybe God gets angry about that too? You think it upsets the Lord when people say He said things that He didn't say? And they twist His words to make them say things that He didn't mean and didn't say? Oh yeah, God gets angry about that, just like you and I get angry about that. You be careful when you speak the word of the Lord, make sure that the Lord said it. Don't be telling people the Lord said something He didn't say. Amen. That's why we need to know the Scriptures. The Bible said, search the Scriptures daily. Know them. For therein, the Bible says, we have life by the word of the Lord. His words are spirit, and they are life. And so we need to learn the word of the Lord and not make it say things it doesn't say, twisting it to their own destruction. Amen. I met a lady actually right here in Athens years ago. I was knocking on doors, and I knocked on this lady's door. And we said we were from the United Pentecostal Church. And she said, oh, she said, you're those people that believe in all that water. She meant immersion. And I said, yes, we are. She said, I don't believe in all that water. I said, well, it's in the Bible. I can show it to you. She said, it's not in my Bible. I said, yes, it is. She said, no, it's not, because I tore it out. She may have removed it from her Bible, but she didn't remove it from his. Amen. I'm not going to be judged by her edited Bible. I'm going to be judged by the unedited Word of the Lord, the Word Himself. Amen. He said, ye therefore not seeing, you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Amen. We got to be real careful in these last days, folks, because there are some that have already fallen. There are some that have fallen away from what they know to be right and know to be true. But they've listened to error. And for whatever reason, some have fallen aside. We can't join that number. We've got to march ahead, knowing all that we know and maintaining everything that we know. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight that you, if you have less truth and you're coming to more truth, you're making progress. But if you know more truth and you go back to less truth, you're backsliding. If you're doing less than you know to do, you're backsliding. But if you're learning more every day and you're progressing, then you're making progress and you're headed the right direction. Amen. So we got to keep on, folks. Amen. And then he gives us this admonition. He said, but grow. Everybody say, grow. That's the answer. Grow. God likes things to grow. Amen. If you don't believe that, look at my lawn. I'm godly. I got stuff growing around my house. Amen. One of these days I'm going to have to get out there and shorten it a little bit. But we believe in the theory of growth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So things need to grow. God's into growing. He likes growth. We like growth. The lack of growth is a tragedy. You know, when a baby's born and it gets to, you know, a few months and a few more months, and then all of a sudden everybody's anxiously waiting for the first word, right? And you're hoping that it's da, da. First word. I think Cherie's first word was Raymondville. Of all things. That's where we live then. Different kind of kid right there. Amen. When he was 2 years old, we were on a flight to California, and She had a lazy eye, and the doctor, we didn't know it was a doctor at the time, but he was an optometrist, and he was asking, or an ophthalmologist, and he was asking about Cherie's eyes, and we were reluctant to talk to this stranger about it. And Cherie looks at him, and she says, "Oh, I have strabismus." Amen. So that, you know, but she learned, and she grew. But when a child learns to say da da and mama and wow wow and you know, you're a great interpreter of these things, you understand. And I do parents all that time. The child says something, I look to mom and dad to see what he said. Then they tell me what they said because I couldn't understand it. Amen. Little Emily, I love little Emily, comes in Cheshire. I mean, that little kid, she speaks so plainly, but you don't understand. Nobody knows what she's saying. Because she's speaking her own language. And she's just as happy speaking that language as you are speaking yours. And she don't care if you understand or not. She's talking. Doesn't bother her a bit. She's just carrying on her own conversation. Amen. But that's growth, you see. It's progress. But if they get to be 5 years old and they're still the same as they were when they were 2 years old, then we get concerned. And they get to be 10 years old, and they were like they were 5 years old, we get concerned. Because the growth is not there like it should be. And Christians the same way. Amen. If you're the same today as you were when you came in however many years ago, you need to get to growing. Amen. If you've been in the church a long time, praise the Lord, you ought to grow. There ought to be some growth in your life. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Amen. There ought to be growth in your life. Praise God. You ought to be more godly. You should be more righteous. You know more, and you've learned more, and you've been exposed to more. Amen. We know what's right and wrong, and we should be doing what's right and wrong. We can cut a lot of slack to babes in Christ, and we should. Because they're new. They don't know a lot of things. But when you've been around a while, you don't have that excuse anymore. Praise the Lord. He said, grow. Everybody say, grow. That's the will of God. Grow. And he tells us two specific areas. He said, grow in grace. One thing that I like about grace, besides its enabling power to enable us, and gives us power that we don't have. We don't just grow in grace toward God, but we grow in grace toward one another. Isn't that right? It's easy to grow in grace toward God, but it's not so easy to grow in grace toward one another. Well, it's real quiet here. Amen. I'm going to meddle just a moment. But that means that you've got to understand one another. And you've got to be patient with one another. And you've got to forgive one another. And the Bible uses the word forbear one another. I like the word put up with. Sometimes you got to put up with one another. Isn't that right? Yeah, we do. Amen. I want to meddle here just long, I promise. And this won't hurt much. I'll take my shoes off when I step on your toes. Not everybody starts at the same place in the Christian walk. The Bible, Jesus, in one place it said, they were talking about, he fed the multitude and he was sending them away. And the disciples said, "Well, send them away. We don't have anything to feed them." And here's what Jesus said. He said, "But some come from far." Not everybody travels the same road or the same distance to get to God. Some people come from different backgrounds. Jesus told a young man one time, he said, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." As he interviewed him, the young man said, I know the law. I've kept the law since I was a child. I've known it my whole life. And Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. Brother Bacon, when we grew up in the church, Sister Bacon, we had the privilege to grow up on Pentecostal pews. We've been closer. Didn't take us, we weren't far from the kingdom of God. But there are people in this congregation that you are far, far away from this. You came a long ways to get here. This is totally foreign to your background. And this is what we have to understand. That when you judge people, you don't just judge. You got to understand some people came from farther to get here than you did. Some people came into the church with more baggage than you did. Amen. It takes some people a little longer to get over some stuff that they brought with them than it does for you. That's why you can't judge everybody the same. Does that make sense to you? Help me out here. Let's have patience with folks. Amen. Yeah, people say things they shouldn't say and do things they shouldn't do, but be patient with them, because next time it's going to be you needing some patience and wanting folks to be patient with you. Amen. All of you that are perfect, you can leave now. We'll finish without you. Well, look at there. Several leaving. No, not really. Wasn't nobody moving when I said that. Amen. He said, grow in grace. And then he said, grow in the knowledge. I say knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to grow in something, grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Because as you grow in the knowledge of the Lord, it touches every area of your life. Amen. When you begin to see through His eyes. You know, the Bible literally says this in a couple of places. It says, we have the mind of Christ. That means that when you get the Holy Ghost, you can think like Jesus thinks. You don't always, but you can. You have the ability. And as you grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you get closer to Him, and you become more like Him, then your life becomes more fruitful, and you become more stable, and more mature, and more perfect, and more understanding. And it's vital that we grow in grace and in truth and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody say, let's grow. Amen. Let's grow. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. We are living in some last days. There are scoffers. They're all mockers. Amen. And we are seeing the world being put on trial, the church being put on trial like never before. We are living in what is called the information age. Everything is stored somewhere. Everything you buy, there's a record of it. Amen. Conversations are recorded. That ought to make you be careful what you say. Amen. But we're living in that time. We're living in that time. Just came out this week that 50 of the largest companies in the United States are furnishing and opening their files to the United States government so they can mine information about you and me. AT&T, Verizon, thank God I have Sprint. Amen. But your conversations are open. Your conversations are open. Amen. It's all there. That's the world we're living in. There's no hiding in this place. Amen. Everything's open. Amen. That's all right. You know, I hadn't bought anything I mind anybody knowing about. And I don't really recall saying anything on the telephone. I don't care if somebody listens to. Amen. If you want to bore yourself, go ahead. Amen. All 2 minutes of it. I don't talk long. I'm like my brother. I can tell you everything I know in 10 minutes. You don't believe that because you've already been listening 45. Amen. Praise the Lord. But isn't God good tonight? We're living in an unusual time, an exciting time. This is an exciting time. These are end times. These are end times. Amen. But that's all right. I'm looking for Jesus to come. And I'm making preparation for that. Are you making preparation for the Lord's coming? Amen. The Bible said that He is coming for those that are looking for His appearing. Amen. So if we're looking, that's who He's coming for. Got to be mindful. Amen. It won't be long, and we'll be leaving here. Praise the Lord. It's not going to be long, and we're going to be leaving this old world behind. Amen. Praise God. What manner of persons ought we to be? That's a sobering thought. I encourage you tonight to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God of heaven, we stand here tonight in the light of Your coming. And I'm praying strength for every person that's here, courage in every heart, faith in every spirit, in every soul. God, that we'll be able to withstand the scoffing and the mocking and the persecution of these last days. And we'll not let anything get in our way. Amen. But we'll be steadfast and faithful until the end, because Your grace is sufficient. Amen. If you're not ready for the coming of the Lord and you'd like to get ready, I'd like to open this altar for you tonight. I wouldn't want to close this service without giving you an opportunity to pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't know the Lord like you want to know Him, He wants to really know you tonight. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. Amen. And He invites you to come right now. And I'm inviting you as well. Praise the Lord. Just come on. Amen. There's a place to pray. If you feel the Holy Ghost moving, tugging at your heart, you need to respond to Him tonight. Praise the Lord. Respond to Him tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I think it would be good for everybody just to come for a moment, a little while, a few minutes here today. Let's come and just tell the Lord, amen, I want to be steadfast. When the world is on fire, I want to be standing. Amen. God, strengthen me tonight in my spirit. Don't let me fall. Don't let me be deceived. I know there's a spirit of deception in this last hour, in this last day. Amen. I don't want to listen to doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. But help me, God, to remain steadfast and secure in my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 That's right. Let's just spend a little time with the Lord here tonight. God, I want my place to be secure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I love You, Lord Jesus. I thank You, Lord Jesus. I praise You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, You are my great God. Oh, my heavenly benefactor. I praise You. I praise You. You're my all and my everything. Everything I need, I find in You, Lord Jesus. There's nothing lacking, Lord, in You tonight. Praise the name of Jesus.
Take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where